I would like to share some scripture with you today from the ninth chapter of Hebrews. If you have your Bibles and would like to read with me, please turn to Hebrews chapter 9, and I'm going to read just a short lesson beginning with verse 22 and read through the end of the chapter. Hebrews chapter 9, beginning with verse 22. "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." That's reading through the end of the ninth chapter of Hebrews. And you know, I know that that all of us have favorites. We have favorite things. We have favorite, no doubt, we have favorite books, favorite scriptures in the Bible. And these scriptures have always been among some of my favorites. I love to read the book of Hebrews. I've probably read that book through the chapters of the book of Hebrews as much as I have any book in the Bible, and I just really always enjoyed reading the book of Hebrews and studying the book of Hebrews, and this ninth chapter and 28th verse has always been one of my favorite verses as well. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And of course, what that's simply saying there is that Christ is coming again, but he's not coming again to make an offering for sin. He's coming again with final salvation, final deliverance. And what I would like to speak about today, and I'd like to use these words for a title, Anticipating Christ. Anticipating Christ. We are in the time of year, here again. I mean, it doesn't seem like we should be. You know, I was thinking about that this morning, and I thought, didn't we just have Christmas? But, you know, it just, the years keep seeming quicker and quicker. But here we are again, you know, at the time of year that's known as Christmas. It's a time when there's going to be much said. I was downstairs in the Sunday school class for a while this morning and heard this spoke about. You know, this time of year is going to be a time when there's going to be much said about the birth of Christ. There will be a lot of Christmas programs that will be performed, such as the one that we have scheduled here tonight at 6 o'clock, and I'm looking forward to that. I always enjoy that. It will be a time of year. And this, you know, there are things when we get into Christmas time, there are things that happen year after year. And this will be a time of year again when Christian parents will tell their children what it's really about. Christian parents will tell their children that it's not, you know, really about receiving gifts and giving gifts and putting up and decorating a Christmas tree or, you know, putting pretty lights up. Those are just things that we, you know, have adopted by tradition and things that we do, but we'll explain to our children and perhaps grandchildren that Christmas is about the birth of the most important person to ever be born. It's about the birth of Christ. You know, we really don't know when he was born. The Bible doesn't tell us when he was born. I don't know that he was born on December 25th. I don't know that he wasn't. I don't know if he was even born in this month. I mean, we just don't know when he was born into the world. If God would have wanted us to know that specifically, he could have put it in the book. But he didn't, and we don't know exactly when the Lord was born. But what we do know, what we do find very well told to us and explained to us in the Scriptures is that there was a time, many years have passed now since that time, but there was a time when people, and especially the people of God, especially the nation of Israel, there was a time when they were greatly anticipating the coming of the Christ. They were greatly anticipating the coming Messiah. They were greatly anticipating the fulfillment of the prophecies. They were anticipating the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy some 700 years before the time that Christ actually came. They were anticipating what the prophet Isaiah had said when he said, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." They were anticipating the prophecy that we find in the book of Isaiah where he said, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." And we know from the first chapter of Matthew exactly what that meant. You know, Matthew, I believe, chapter 1, verse 23 tells us that Emmanuel is God with us. And that's exactly what Jesus was when he came. He was God in the flesh. A lot of people don't believe that. There's a lot of people in the world that don't believe that Jesus was God. I'm convinced that he was. That he was God in the form of a man. So they were anticipating his arrival. They were anticipating him coming. They were looking for the one, and you know, many of them were looking for him in the wrong way. They were not looking for him to come the way that he actually did come. And that's the reason that for the most part that he was rejected by the people of Israel, because he did not meet their expectations. He did not meet their anticipations. And you know, sometimes in many different ways, sometimes today we still struggle with that ourselves. When God sends something into our lives, a lot of times we don't receive whatever that it is because it didn't come the way that we anticipated that it would. And but you know, the Bible tells me that when the fullness of the time was come, that God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. And God sent his son into the world exactly the way that he chose to. He wasn't, you know, God wasn't making himself a prisoner, and he never has made himself a prisoner to the wishes and the desires of men. God sent Jesus, his son, into the world. He sent him into the very conditions that he chose. You know, God simply did not choose to send him in the way that men anticipated that he would. They were looking for another, perhaps another Saul. You know, you remember reading about Saul, how that he stood head and shoulders above the rest when the people of Israel made him their king. He was a man of a great stature, and he was a big and a strong person. But we know that, you know, what they were looking for was they were looking for a great civil leader. They were looking for a great commander, a great general, somebody to come and deliver them by force. They were not looking for a meek Messiah. They were not looking for a lowly Messiah. They were not looking for a Messiah that would be born into the world in poverty. They were not looking for a Messiah that would have to be laid in a manger when he was born into the world. They expected that he would be in royalty. But God didn't send him that way. But nevertheless, there were those that were anticipating with great expectation and great excitement, I believe. We say that the Jews, when Jesus come, we say that the Jews did not receive their Savior, but you know, that's only true in part. For the most part, they didn't, but I'm telling you, they did. The Jews did receive their Messiah. Men like Zacharias and women like Elizabeth and Joseph and Mary, they did. They did receive him. Most of them didn't, but some of them did. And one of them we read about, and we read about this man in the second chapter of Luke. One of those men that we read about that was, I believe, with great excitement in his heart, that was really anticipating the coming of the Christ, was a man named Simeon. And God had done something special for Simeon, and I don't really know why that he had. Perhaps it was because Simeon was such a devout man, and because of what was in his heart, the expectation that he had, perhaps that had something to do with it. But for some reason, God had done something very special for this man named Simeon. He had revealed to him through the power of the Holy Spirit that he was not going to die until he had actually seen the Messiah, until he had actually seen the Lord's Christ. And so we have at least one person, and certainly I believe there were more, but if nothing else, from the example of Simeon, we know at least that there was one person on the earth at that time that absolutely knew beyond doubt that the Messiah was getting ready to arrive. Now, I don't know what it was like, for people 100 years later, perhaps after that Isaiah had prophesied what he did, but I'm convinced that from the very time and even going way back beyond that, you know, we can go way back to the very first book of the Bible. We can go all the way back to the book of Genesis and even into the very early part of the book of Genesis, and we know that it was prophesied, it was first prophesied by God himself that there was going to be a Savior that was going to come into the world and that would redeem fallen man. And it was illustrated by type after type for years and years and for many, many years, many years, thousands of years, people anticipated the coming of this one who had been spoken about. Who had been spoken about by Moses in the law, who had been spoken about by the prophets, and they were anticipating his arrival. And Simeon knew that it was close. Simeon was given the privilege, you know, after, you know, when I think about that, after generation coming and going that were anticipating the coming of the Lord, but they died and they did not see his coming. But Simeon was a man that was promised by God, and it was revealed to him by God that it would be in his lifetime that the Lord would arrive. And the Bible teaches me that even before that happened, which I believe certainly had something to do with it, but even before that happened, that Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for that. He was waiting for the Messiah. He was anticipating and expecting the Messiah before God bestowed that special favor upon him. And he came and he blessed him by making it known to him, Simeon, you're going to see the Lord's Christ. Well, somehow, and you know, I'm going to say that I believe that Jesus, when he was born into the world and when he was a baby, and I'm so glad that we have so many little babies here at our church. But I'm convinced that when you looked at Jesus, that you were looking at a baby. He was a baby. I mean, he looked like any other baby. You can go back to the, I believe, the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, and you can find out, or perhaps the 52nd chapter, but you can find out that there was, not going to be anything physically distinguishing him in any special way. He would be like everybody else. He would look like any other person. He would have no comeliness. Isaiah 53, I believe. He would have no comeliness that would make him stand out in that way. He wouldn't be head and shoulders above everybody else like Saul was. He would just be, when you looked at him, and you would be looking at any other average person. And so Christ was a baby. But somehow, when Joseph and Mary brought Jesus into the temple, somehow he knew that what the Holy Spirit had revealed to him was being fulfilled in that 8-day-old baby that they had brought there to be circumcised and for the points of law to be fulfilled. Simeon knew that when he took that little baby up in his arms, that he was holding the Christ. He was holding the Christ. Now that made him so content, and that blessed him so much that when the Bible tells us that when he held him in his arms, that he said, Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. So he was anticipating that. God had made it known to him that he would see it. And when he saw the baby child, the baby Jesus, the Christ child, he knew that what God had promised him had come to pass, and it just blessed him so much that he said, I can die happy now. You can just go ahead, God, and take me, because I've seen your deliverer. I believe we have proof that, further proof that people were anticipating the Lord's Christ. If you look in the first chapter of John in verse 45 concerning Philip and Nathanael, when Nathanael had met the Lord Jesus, the Bible tells us there that he went and he found Nathanael, and he said unto him, we have found him. I believe that, if we get a proper picture of what was happening here. I believe that no doubt Nathanael was speaking, or Philip was speaking to Nathanael with great joy and great exclamation when he made that statement and he went to him, Nathanael, we have found him. He was convinced that Jesus was the Messiah. We have found him. We have found who? We have found him of whom Moses and the law, in the law and the prophets did write. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Jonah, son of Joseph, Nathanael, we have found the product of this prophecy. We have found the one that fulfills what Moses spoke of. You know, we have found the one that all of those animal sacrifices were about. All the years of the tabernacle and the temple. We have found the one that Isaiah spoke about. We found the one that Micah prophesied of. We have found him, the Lord's Messiah, his deliverer. You know, the shepherds, I mean, we always, at Christmas time, we always hear the shepherds spoken about, don't we? We always read about them or hear them spoken about. We read about the shepherds there in their fields and the angel of the Lord coming to them and announcing to them that the Messiah had come into the world. Listen, when Jesus came into the world, when he was born into this world, the mighty angels of God just could not withhold their praise, could they? They had to come. And they stood there, with those shepherds at night. And they said, unto you. You know, see, the Lord Jesus, when he was born, he wasn't born unto himself. He was born unto us. That's exactly what Isaiah prophesied, unto you. He was born for us, folks. He was born for us. He was born to die for us. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You will find him. You'll find him lying in a manger. You'll find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And they went there with great expectation, great anticipation. We always, at this time of year, we always hear, we always read about the wise men coming later, bringing their gifts to him, presenting to him gold, frankincense, myrrh, presenting to him these precious gifts that they did. But you and I, we, in our day, we're not anticipating the birth of Christ, are we? That's long since gone by. We know that somewhere, and I know this isn't exact, we know that somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,000 years, maybe 2,020 years, somewhere in that neighborhood still of about 2,000 years, the time that we speak about today and the time that's often spoke about in the Christmas season when there were people that were greatly anticipating the birth of the Savior, the birth of the Messiah, the coming deliverer, we have long since passed that time and we look back to that today. And we are thankful. I'm thankful that he was born in the world. I know you're thankful that he was born in the world. We give God praise for that. And we thank God for that. And I believe we delight from time to time in looking back and remembering that. And God help us that, December 25th shouldn't be the only time of the year that we would reflect upon the fact that Christ was born into this world. But we look back at that with great thankfulness and joy in our hearts that he was born, but we are not the group of people. That's not our time in the kingdom. We are not that group of people that anticipate the birth of Christ that has long since passed. But we are anticipating Christ, aren't we? You see, we live, and I think sometimes that, perhaps the people in our day don't consider this enough, but you and I live, we are living, and we have been living for a long time in what the Bible calls the last days. We are in the last days. You know, when Jesus came into the world, that was the onset of the last days. It's the last era of time that's going to be known. And so you and I today, as we live our lives and as we try to worship and serve and honor God in our lives, what we anticipate is His return. We anticipate Christ coming again, and thank God that He did come once, just as the Scriptures in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28 tell us. Thank God that He did come that one time. Thank God that He was born into the world in the flesh. Thank God that He was willing to suffer and die on the cross, that He was willing to make that atonement. But what these people experienced in the day that they live, what the shepherds experienced, what the wise men experienced, what Joseph and Mary experienced, what Zacharias and Elizabeth experienced, what Simeon experienced, is far removed from you and I. It's far removed from us. We are deep. I mean, we are well into the last days. And there's something that I am anticipating. And there's something that I believe that you are anticipating. And that is the return of the Lord. You see, He appeared once in the end of the world to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. He did that. But unto those that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now when Jesus came, he lived a short life. If I would have died about the age that Jesus died, you know, I would have been gone from the earth, 23, 24 years ago. He lived a short life. He wasn't here very long, according to the standards of life. He came, He lived a short life, He did what He came here to do, He made the sacrifice, He built His church, He made the sacrifice at Calvary, He resurrected from the dead, He ascended back to heaven to be with God, and the very day that He left, the very time that He was leaving, the disciples that had been with Him for about 3 to 3.5 years had been in close relationship with Him for that time. They were sad in their hearts. He was being taken from them, and they too were given a special favor from God. God sent two of His angels to appear to them and to promise them this, that this man that you are watching go into heaven shall come again in like manner as you've seen Him go. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into the heavens? This same Jesus, which is taken from you, shall come in like manner as you've seen Him go. Folks, He left in the clouds and He's coming in the clouds. He left here with great power and He's coming back with great power. You know, Jesus said before He left the world, He appeared to His disciples. And you know, we don't need to think that He's just going to gain that power when he comes back, because before he ever left the world, after he resurrected, he went to his disciples and he told them that he already had that power, didn't he? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So he left here in great power. I'll tell you what, if you're going to summons a cloud to come down from the sky to taxi you out of this world, you got to have some power, don't you? I mean, you got to have some power to do that. And so he stepped on a cloud and he went back to be with God, and they were assured that he'll be back. He'll come again. He'll come in great power. In the clouds of heaven with great power. And, you know, I didn't get to see, I wasn't here, and I didn't get to see when Jesus was born. I didn't get to be there by that manger. I didn't get to do what Simeon did. I didn't get to pick. You all know I love babies. I love to hold little babies. I didn't get to hold Jesus like Simeon did. I didn't get to see that beautiful glowing star in the sky that stood over him when he was born. I didn't get to see that illuminating light in the sky that directed the Magi to the place where he was laid. I didn't experience all of that, but I will see the coming of the Lord. I'll see it. I wasn't born. I wasn't even thought of. Well, by the Lord I was, but I wasn't even thought of. I wasn't even born. I wasn't anywhere in the picture when Christ came into the world the first time. But you know, it doesn't matter if I die and have been gone from the world 1,000 years, when he comes, I'll still see his coming. You need to know this today if you're here and you're lost, that you will see the coming of the Lord. The Bible says in the first chapter of Revelations that every eye shall see him, even they which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I mean, folks, listen, we will all see the coming of the Lord. We will experience that time when the moon no longer gives her light, when the stars fall from heaven as a fig tree casting off her untimely figs, when the sun becomes as black as sackcloth of hair, when the heavens depart as a scroll and the elements melt with fervent heat, and all the earth, you know, everything that gives way to the coming of Christ, every eye will see him. Every eye. And so, he came once, he suffered. I can't imagine. We spoke about it in Brother Todd's class a little bit this morning, and I can't imagine the lifestyle that they lived, the things that they went through. You know, I couldn't, to be honest with you, I mean, my wife and I, when we started raising our family, you wouldn't have dreamed of calling us rich, and we never have been that. But you know, I don't think I could have really imagined taking one of my little babies and having to lay him down outside somewhere in a little wooden, you know, because there was just no place, you know, nobody to receive him. I mean, I never had to do anything like that. It'd be hard to imagine for us in the day that we live in, and the hardships that they went through and the things that they had to experience. Uh, But I'm glad the Lord came. Thankful that he came. I'm thankful that he was willing to do what he did. And I'm thankful that he's coming back for us. We're not going to be, none of us are staying here forever. And those of us who are blessed enough to be saved, he's coming back to take us home one of these days. And if you're not saved, you need to get ready to meet him, because he's coming with the clouds and he's coming in great power. And you're going to see him. You're going to see Jesus either as your Savior or as your destroyer. One way or other, one way or the other, every eye will behold his coming. So I appreciate your attention today, and I want to encourage you that are lost to seek after the Lord Jesus until you know that you have been saved by his grace, anticipating Christ.